97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
I don't see a reason why he needs to get back up on stage with her. He's actually still ahead in this race. Kamala Harris is about 5 points back of where Joe Biden was at this time in 2020, and she's 3 to 4, maybe 5 points back in all of the key battleground states. She's actually even polling worse than Hillary Clinton was at this point in 2016. So I think if you're Donald Trump, you look at it, you see, I'm in the lead. Why do I want to give her another bite at the apple? She didn't connect by being able to explain to the voters during the first debate of how she would lower prices, how she would deal with the immigration crisis that she caused. And I don't think that he should give her an audience of 60 million to try and try again.
Wiggins! Oh! Wiggins!
Wow. So you see, Ryan, a very different story on these polls depending on who you're talking to. That was Mark Lotter. We have him on here as a guest pretty regularly. Used to work for Trump. He says Trump's winning. I've got a number of articles and polls, including Rasmussen polls in front of me, showing Trump winning, if not by a point or two nationally, certainly in enough of the swing states that would deliver him the presidency. And yet, when you look at like the Real Clear Politics average and a few of these others, you would see that they still show Harris up by 2 points for president when you look at that clearinghouse of polls.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, it's really tough to dissect because there's not only is there more data than there used to be, but there's also so many more media organizations tied to these pollsters that are paying their paychecks. That, you know, some of them, like LA Times and CNN, they actually had pretty good 2016 polling and then all of a sudden changed their methods for 2020 and beyond. You're like, you did good. Why would you change what you did in 2016? So there's obviously people out there who are pushing these polls. You know, the media organizations that are tied to a lot of them are very far left, and they want to see a result. And the weird thing is, in the numbers that I've been looking at over the last couple weeks, and you played the debate sound, and he was talking about the debate. You know, the debate was weird because the majority, and I'm not talking about a huge majority, like 53% to 55%, somewhere in there, say that Kamala Harris won the debate. They also drifted toward Trump on all the key issues after the debate. So you're basically saying, okay, she had a better performance. The bar was really low for her. So she came in higher than her bar and yet didn't really gain anything from the debate.
It might have been at the bar before she went in for that.
We don't know.
We don't know.
You would say that, Mark. I just think back to 2016 because we saw the polls saying that you know, Trump was going to lose, and then look what happened. So I think that's kind of how things go, that maybe it's because these conservatives, when you get the phone call saying, would you like to participate in our poll, they say, beep, no, I don't want to do that. So maybe that's why they're skewed. I'm hoping that he's going to show them that that's what the case is, and that it's favoring a lot of liberals, and they're saying they're supporting Kamala. I agree with Mark Lotter. I do not think that he should debate Kamala again. But I was playing a clip earlier from Charlie Kirk going to these college campuses, talking to students about who they're supporting and why. And there was this one kid who said, well, you know, I pretty much support Trump on every single policy stance that he has. But morally, he says, I just can't do it. I don't think he's a nice person. And I don't think that's a good role, like a role model for our country. I mean, that's what people are saying, which is just sad.
With any polling, the tough thing about Donald Trump, and we've seen it for two election cycles now, is that you have a lot of people that will not answer polls, especially for Trump. So the people that all this data is based on are your people who are in the tank. They're high propensity voters, which is good for both sides. But what about that average person who maybe doesn't show up for midterms, but they do show up for presidential elections? Where do you think they're leaning? A, they're not answering polls because they don't care. They're not going to. I mean, I won't answer polls because I don't want to be on their list. Like, I love polls and I still won't do it because I know I'll get 20 more calls if I answer one of them. So the average person's not answering polls. It's your high propensity voters, your super powerful base that's answering. That average person, who do you think they're showing up for?
Trump.
I don't know a liberal that would answer that question differently. You know, it's everybody understands that the groundswell, the average, the working American, they're supporting Trump. They're just not very loud about it Now, Trump has his loud base, don't get me wrong, but the average voter is just not screaming, yeah, Harris. Like, there's nothing about her in any, not just policy, but like issues that are facing average people. They don't see anything in her that they're identifying with.
Yeah.
The joy. That's what people say that they like is I feel joy when Kamala Harris speaks. And if I think about her being the president, joy.
Yeah. I mean, that's the campaign. But that's very public. You know, everything about that campaign is forward facing. They're not doing sort of like background, like how do we actually fix anything? It's all presentation all the time. And so that's why you see Harris signs is because these are the people who are already they were going to vote for Biden. They didn't care. They thought he was sharp as a tack. They were going to say this guy's the best guy, and they just shifted to Harris.
Yeah, yeah. I saw there's a guy who's a regular commentator on MSNBC. I think it's MSNBC. Maybe it's CNN. His name is Elie Mystal. Have you seen him? The guy with the big hair. He's got big hair. He's a black guy. He's got big hair. But it's shock white. So that's how I think of his name. That's what. Anyway, he tweeted out the other day, "What a sad state of affairs that once again for the I forget what he said the third, fourth time, or fifth time, or whatever. You know, a candidate's going to win the national popular vote, but won't." But might not win the election. What a sad state of affairs. And I'm like, the sad thing here is that you're too stupid to understand why the Electoral College was put in place. We don't live in a democracy. We live in a representative republic where the population centers in L.A. and San Francisco and New York and Chicago can't run roughshod over the rest of us in the middle of the country. We get a say, too.
Yeah, and people will say, well, but then it just comes down to a handful of voters in a few states. Yeah, but those states are constantly shifting.
Yes.
It's never just the population. If you did a national vote, it would always just be the population centers that were determining everything. That's where all the campaign rallies would be because that's all that would matter. And if you didn't live in one of the top, let's say, 5 or 10 markets, you'd never even see a candidate. Well, and people go, well, if you don't live in Pennsylvania right now, if you live in Missouri and Illinois, you're not seeing candidates. Yeah, well, Missouri 20 years ago was a swing state. You know, these things shift around. And so if you're worried about, you know, representing all of America, I mean, tell me what the better system is, because it's not national popular vote.
No. Did you hear what Lucas Kuntz did yesterday? Have you heard the sound yet?
I think so.
Oh,
I think so.
This is classic. Lucas Kuntz is on with NBC News. The what's her name?
Kristen Welker.
She does, you know, the Sunday show. And I couldn't tell if this was part of the regular show or if it was a separate interview she did with him. It was kind of hard to tell. I didn't get the impression that it was during their Sunday morning show. She's got Lucas Kuntz on, obviously running against Josh Hawley, and she asks him who he number one, she confirms he's voting for Amendment 3 because he wants abortion until birth. He's going to vote to kill the filibuster if he's in the Senate. And then she asks him if he's pushing for Kamala Harris. Listen to Cut 12 here, Carl, please.
Just to be clear, for the record, are you definitively able to say that you are voting for Vice President Harris?
And join this race to decide who the president is or to tell people, other people, how to decide to vote for the president. You know, it's a uphill battle for me just going around Missouri asking people to vote for me for U.S. Senate. So I'm focusing on that. I'm real excited to get into this office and win. And I can tell you right now, I will work with anyone and any president to bring money back to our state and do all the things that everyday people here in Missouri need. And that includes codifying Roe versus Wade, ending the filibuster, passing the Protecting the Right to Organize Act, and many other things.
But you're comfortable saying you're going to support the amendment in your state. You're not going to support, or you can't say definitively here and now that you will support the Democratic nominee for president?
Again, I didn't get in the race to try to decide how other people vote for president. I've gotten into this race to sell myself, to talk about what I'm going to do for Missouri, and I just want to stay hyper-focused on that.
Yeah. That whooshing sound you just heard was Lucas Kuntz running away from Kamala Harris.
It's so funny because I had heard that. He's going, listen, I mean, he almost actually says this. He goes, listen, I'm driving around this state. This is an uphill battle already. Don't make me endorse Kamala Harris. That's real close to what he actually said there.
That is the truth.
Get more at 971talk.com.